the provider. Can we, in fact, go camping this summer? And imagine the father saying, "Whoa, I'm not that kind tonight. Tonight my emphasis is, I want to say I love you. I'm your father, and this is our house. Why don't you just climb onto my lap? And I want to tell you those special words. I love you." Sometimes probably God feels the same with us. And we say, "Oh no, he wouldn't say that to me." But yes, yes, you know, in spite of all our limitations, imperfections, and failures, God does say that to us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And you know, Jeremiah 31:3 says it this way to a group of people that we tend to like to apply to ourselves as well. "I have loved you with an everlasting love." And then we ask, was he serious? Why, of course God is serious. And when we look at the words of Paul, he says, "Nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ." It's starting to soak in, isn't it? Well, we kind of know it, but sometimes on a Christmas day, we need it to be reminded again that God loves us. And here are some beautiful words from Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord your God is with you. The Mighty One will save you. He will rejoice over you. You will rest in his love. He will sing and be joyful about you." You know, probably we often think of ourselves as the singers and God the audience. But it's not always true. And in this, it brings it home that sometimes we just need to revel in his song, in his love, in his rejoicing, and sit, as it were, in his lap. You know, times like that, he just wants to say, "Son and daughter, sit still and enjoy." Well, again, we say, we're not worthy of such affection. Well, you know, neither was Judas, and yet Jesus washed his feet. And neither was Peter, and Jesus served him breakfast. And neither were the two Emmaus-bound disciples, but Jesus took time to sit at their table. You know, it's our privilege to sit on the lap of God, as it were, and let him love on us. Let him have us. And then switching the thoughts a little bit, Jesus also said one time, "Blessed are the meek." The meek, the available, the conduits, the tools, the means. Blessed are the meek. Blessed. Yeah, again, God's message is for the meek. That's why the announcement came, I suppose, to the shepherds. You know, it didn't come to the theologians. They'd have probably been checking their commentaries. Didn't come to the elite. They just might have had to check their schedules. Or maybe the successful, who would have been just too busy, but he came to the shepherds. Meek shepherds. No reputation to protect, no axe to grind, and no ladder to climb. The meek. They didn't know to tell the angels that it's not right to be singing to sheep, or that kings don't come wrapped in swaddling clothes in a barn. No. You know, I'm told that there's an ancient church that sits over the supposed place of Jesus' birth in the manger. And they say that behind the beautiful altar, there's a doorway into a little cave. A cave that by now is lit with silver candles or lights. And it's a special place. that we suppose that Jesus may have been. But there's one thing about that place. That doorway is too low for you to get in without stooping and entering. You've got to bend down. And it's like that for us as we think about Jesus and how it is the love that coming to Christ, that to witness the Savior, we need to stoop. We need to get down on our knees, in fact. And so while the theologians were sleeping and the elite were snoring and the successful were dreaming, Jesus came to the shepherds. Those meek were kneeling in front of the one only the meek will see. They were kneeling in front of Jesus. And I know you know, most of you know, certainly, this story well, but there is this familiar story that we have that Jesus was born when Joseph and Mary went up to be registered or taxed. And we know that he was swaddled and laid in a manger. And then, you remember the story? Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sorely and greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And you remember the story, how that they hadn't quit long and disappeared, that the angels headed for Bethlehem, and there they found that baby with Mary and Joseph. Blessed are the meek. Lastly, I want to think, and I see I need to make this brief. I want to think with you about seeking that Savior. Simeon wanted to see this Savior. He wanted to live to see him. God even gave a prophecy that he would. And the king said, "Let's saddle up the camels and let's go. We won't quit till we find him. If we can't find him amongst the priests and they can't direct us to him, we'll keep looking till we find him." And the shepherds said, "Let's go. Let's see where this baby is." And they all found him. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, there are several ways to state this in the English language. Good ways they are. God rewards those who earnestly seek him. There's that concept of earnestness that God blesses when he sees a seeker once. God. And then the King James is just hardly can be beat. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So earnest or diligent search, searching and seeking, looking for Jesus. Sometimes in life, we miss Jesus because we're looking maybe for perfection. And we look around and this person fails in the image of Christ, and another one and another one and another one, and life starts to look dark till somebody comes and helps us to see the other side, the sacrifice, the mothers that have taken care again of the babies, and the butchers and the bakers and all the rest. We look and we see, and it changes our, we start to see that these people are like Jesus, and we start to find Jesus in our search. And you know, it's still true that what the Bible says, that those who diligently seek Jesus, whether in the scriptures or whether it's in life, we will find him. And God is a rewarder of such. Again, my heart is warmed that we can come gather and think about Jesus, the Savior, and think about the great love, the boundless love of God. And his love for us includes the rejoicing, the blessing, just treasuring a relationship. And you and I, who might also today revel in the love of friends and of family, have a more balanced life and a more balanced view if we gather first like this together. So let us kneel for prayer as Brother Arthur leads us.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning grateful that Jesus did come. We doubt if he came on the 25th of December, but it is appropriate for us to remember that Jesus came and that he voluntarily took upon himself these limitations. We're grateful, and thank you for the way that shows us his love for us. Father, you are the God of creation. You're the God of timing. Jesus came at the right time, and his parents and his grandparents on the earthly side were specially prepared by you. The timing was right. No one could stop you, and we worship you as being that kind of a God. And Lord, in this time when it seems like darkness and evil are all around us, we again worship you as the God of right timing, the God who knows how everything will end, and we're so glad we can be on your team. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being this side of Bethlehem. There were people like Simeon and others who looked forward to the Messiah, but we can look back and we can know the whole that part of the story well. We say thank you. We ask, Father, that you would use us in the battle against wickedness. We're on the start of, we're close to 2017, and we ask that you, Father, would use us in the battle against wickedness, that we could walk in step with you so that our lives are useful to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Gary.